Mirsad Hadzikadic is a professor and director of analytical programs at UNC Charlotte. But this year he's been wearing another hat as a presidential candidate in his home country of Bosnia and Herzegovina. He's been on the campaign trail since May, and now the campaign is in its final days leading up to the election this Sunday, October 7th. We spoke to Hadzikadic on WFAE in May before he left Charlotte. He joins me now for an update. And where are you right now, and what is the atmosphere like in the final days of the campaign?
I'm in Sarajevo. I came to Sarajevo, back to Sarajevo this morning from a city in the northwest part of Bosnia called Bihać. And we came back 3 a.m. and 8 a.m. I was already on the air with a local radio station. It is interesting. A few more days left. It is heating up. Luckily, campaigns here are just official campaign period. It's only 1 month long.
You have said that you feel that this is a critical election for your country. Say a little bit more about that.
Yes, because the forces of nationalism are so strong that there are indications that two of the three nations, peoples within Bosnia, or at least their politicians, would like to see a secession to be in their future and joining with their neighboring countries. And the sense is and was that if this time nationalists win again, that there might not be next election simply because the country might be going toward the path of disintegration. That issue is going to be on the table. And the tone of conversations is about who do we elect so that that issue is not on the table and we somehow continue toward the path of possible integration with the European Union, membership in the NATO, and so on.
Where do you fit into the field?
Right. Presidency has a presidential council, has three members, one coming from the Bosnian Serbs, a second from the Bosnian Croats, and the third from Bosniaks, and those are Bosnian Muslims. And by birth, I'm a Bosnian Muslim, and therefore I can only apply for that seat. Interestingly enough, those who declare themselves Bosnians, meaning they don't care to be recognized or classified as Muslims, Catholics, or Eastern Orthodox, they have even no right to run for presidency, which is really discrimination of the highest order.
Now, there are political parties as well, and are you a member of a party or are you independent? Where do you fit in?
I'm an independent candidate because I did not want to affiliate myself with any of the existing parties because I think all of those parties, when they were in power or in some coalition or part of some coalition that was in power, demonstrated the fact that they would simply accept the business as usual and play politics as opposed to think about the future of Bosnia. Now, there have been offers by two parties to be their candidate. And because I promised to people and supporters that I would be an independent candidate, I could not accept such an offer. However, there are conversations with several parties to somehow join forces. And because they have seen the swelling of support for this idea, and they would like to benefit from them, from that, and I would certainly could benefit from their share of power in parliament. So there are many conversations.
What are the major issues that you are running on? What are you talking to people about? What are their concerns?
There are two sets of issues. First, I tell everybody, we in Bosnia-Herzegovina don't know how to think long term. We have never had a national strategy. It's about time to do that. Second, there's a great deal of apathy here. People think that nothing can be done. And I'm inviting everybody to take personal responsibility for the state of the country, for the state that the country is in, and do whatever they can personally to improve the lives of themselves, their families, people around them. The second set of issues is the platform itself. There are three. I tell everybody, however whenever we are in a position to make a choice or a decision or enact a law, we need to think about the country for interests of the country first. Don't think about parties. Don't think about specific peoples or groups. Think about all citizens and the country first. The second is economy. Economy is not doing well. We need to get stronger. And the third one is youth. Our young people are leaving in droves, leaving this country. They're going to European Union. Europe has decided that they need specialists, professionals of all kind. They are making it easier to enter, to get a work permit in those countries and to get citizenship. And we lost about 170,000 people since 2009, and that trend is accelerating. Those are our issues.
You mentioned that your country needs a national strategy. What do you mean by that? Are you talking about an economic strategy, international relations, how to move forward with your constitution such as it is? What are the issues there?
Well, I mean the following. In 100 and 150 years, what this country should look like, is this a democracy that's the best kind of democracy, where one person, one vote, where every citizen is an equal citizen and all have equal rights? Or do we have a country as it is now with some kind of three constituent peoples where there is no really majority in terms of decision making? Everybody has one third of the power, and therefore every minority of the three can block the movement of the country in any direction. Then do we want to go into European Union or NATO? What kind of economy do we want? Is it liberal capitalism, or is it a capitalism that's based on social democracy like in some European nations? Do we want to have free education or not? Can we afford it? Do we want to have free healthcare or not? Can we afford it? We are a small country, and the largest employer in the country is government. That cannot be. And so those are the tough issues that we have to deal with. But if you don't have a national strategy, you don't know what the goals are that you want to accomplish, we will never accomplish them.
How are you getting your message out? What does your campaign look like?
The major parties have their organization on the ground in towns, in villages. That's how they get to them. Then the national newspaper, which is really biased. One of the candidates owns one of the papers, and so he promotes his strategy. Television is big, but it's also in Bosnia. Political parties control various TV channels. And then you get to the social media, where the situation is much more democratic, but of course not everybody has access to social media, especially in the rural areas. Then finally, you have these billboards everywhere. That seems to be the main strategy of the parties in power. They are on the budget. The parties that are in the parliament, they have actually received support from the government. They are on the budget because they are part of the ruling coalition. And they also influence the state-owned institutions, companies, and they draw resources from them. For us, that has been the problem. I'm financing with my own money this campaign. There are people who are believing in us. They are part of the movement. They are financing it. And also there are some donations, especially from the friends and the people I know and colleagues in the U.S.
So how big is your campaign budget, and how does it compare to, say, the big guys?
Well, I have probably, if you look at it, I have 1/100th of what they have.
Any dollar figures, or do you not want to say?
Oh, in dollar figure, let's say the big guys, I think the big guys can spend illegally, it's a 3 million marks, which is, let's say, $2 million. I think they spend about two and a half times that. Not everything is illegal. They buy votes. They buy votes. Some people sell their votes for $20, some for $50, sometimes for a pound, 2 pounds of coffee.
Literally.
Literally, right. And I think our campaign will be about probably $100,000 to $150,000.
Where does that put you in terms of competing against these folks who are much better financed?
There are two issues that we have. One is obviously the lack of money, and therefore we cannot have billboards, and we cannot buy the airtime for the television and to have the video spot and to run it on the national television. We didn't even have the money to pay for the people to run the campaign, so they are all mostly volunteers or people who are inexperienced. However, what we have is the energy and the enthusiasm behind we have volunteers. We have the young people who are actually printing our posters on their printers and then putting it everywhere in the city where they can. The interesting thing is also is that we are blocked by many media outlets in terms of that we are not being invited even to talk shows to express our views. There also we received two death threats by now. Okay. And so it is interesting that the fact that there are those death threats, the fact that they're blocking us whenever they can in terms of accessing to the people, that means that they are afraid of the message. That means that they are seeing that the message is taking hold. We are fighting it by having town hall meetings. I travel constantly, everywhere, cities, villages, coffees. We are fighting it through the direct contact with people.
Speaking of media and media coverage, one of the big things this week was presidential debates that were televised on the national channel. And this is a big moment in your campaign and a big statement that you made. Tell us what happened.
Right. Thus far, we had about three of those debates. On the first one, the people from three major parties didn't show up. So the three of us debated among themselves. And then on the second one, the public service TV station decided to divide the candidates, these 15 candidates, in two groups, the major ones and the lesser ones. And we objected to that because that was a message to the population that, hey, these are their favorites and these are not. They wanted to protect the status quo. We objected, but we actually went through it. The last time was that national TV, we showed up and the same thing happened. They divided us into the same groups, favorites and the other ones. And at the very beginning of the show, when we had a minute to introduce ourselves, I was the third one going, and I used my minute not to introduce myself because I already did that with the same people twice already on the national TV. People knew my views. I basically said, I debated these people on the same set of issues. There's no point doing it again, but I don't agree with the policy of this public service TV station through which they want to favor status quo as opposed to opinions of the new, the future. I don't agree with that. I don't want to be part of that process. And I walked out. I walked out within 80 seconds of that TV show. That broke that blockade, media blockade of our views. Everybody reported that. And I got so popular, you wouldn't believe it.
How many voters are there? And what are the polls showing?
I think there will be about total 1.something million people that will vote in the end. In terms of presidency, it seems that within the Bosniak side of the presidency of the country, people are saying normally you would need 250,000, 300,000 votes. This time they think even 170,000 votes, 160,000, 170,000 votes will be enough. What are my chances? The problem is these parties that are in power, they actually almost blackmail people to vote for them. They give them jobs and they tell them, listen, if you don't vote for us, you are not going to have your job anymore. People have to take a picture of the ballot on the mobile phone, with the names they were instructed to circle or to check, recorded and sent to the headquarters. That's what I'm fighting with. Plus, there is a widespread fraud. They're saying it's not who votes, but who counts that matters. Sometimes they don't even count the votes. They just put on the summary sheet what they need to have there and then send it to the headquarters. So my chances are as follows. There are some surveys that were done and the polls that were done where I am fourth or fifth of this out of six. There are those who are done on the internet, via social media, and I'm often number one or number two. Neither one is correct, even those done by polling people, by calling them on the phone. 37% of them said, I don't really know, and the one who gets the most votes receives only 17%. So it's very uncertain, it's unknown. But I would say I'm probably somewhere between third and fourth place right now. But we'll see what will happen in the end. Not in terms of popularity. I have never seen anybody who said, Mr. You're not a good candidate. You're not a great candidate. Nobody has ever said it. But it's always you're running against the mafia-style politics. You're running against the established parties and their infrastructure. Those are the issues. But we'll see whether this country is ready for its future or not.
Well, thinking back to your announcement that you were going to run and your decision to take a year off here and go try this, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling absolutely ecstatic, and I'm going to tell you why. When I decided to do this, I hoped that, hey, being an independent candidate, very few people knew about me then. There's really not much chance that I'll be elected, but what I wanted to do is to change the dialogue, the nature of the dialogue, of the discourse, political discourse. It was very negative 4 years ago. It was almost cutthroat. I went to the national television on January 12th, decided to run a positive campaign, and I said, I'm going to be the president of all people, and I will not talk about other candidates. I will talk about issues. The response to my message was so strong that every single member candidate got it. And this campaign has been the most civil of all. Every single candidate, every major political party copied something of my message. But now they're saying it is them who said it first. That's fine. I did my part. But what also happened in the process is that suddenly I have a chance. I got a chance. People are talking about our ideas. Young people are behind us. And everybody's saying, Mossad, please, 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 no matter what happens, we need to continue this movement in some shape or form, whether it's a political party or something. Now I have to figure out, how do you establish a movement? Do you have to form a political party, or can it be done otherwise? I'm thinking about Martin Luther King a lot these days, because he started a movement, a civil rights movement, but didn't form a party, right? But influenced existing parties through his message and ideas. And I really think that's something that this country needs.
Well, best of luck, Mirsad Hadzikadic, University of North Carolina at Charlotte professor, running for president in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.